First reading for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 12, found on page 170 of your pew Bible. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that the extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. The second reading for today is from Matthew 25, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. It's called the Parable of Talents. This is a little bit long, so bear with me. For it is if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and then he went on his way. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents came forward, saying, "Master, you had handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. On my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For all those who have more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they will have will be taken away. As for the worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
If you were among those who turned in the name of someone who has been a saint in your life, a good example, a good influence, chances are that you know that even these people are a mix of both saint and sinner at times. I listed my mother and my father, Bill and Topper Schramm, and they were a wonderful influence on me, but there is also no one like a child to be able to also list the faults of a parent. So let me share with you what my family calls the Avis incident. We were on a family vacation. Three boys, ages 9 to 13, my mother and my father. We were out west, and our flight from Wyoming, which was a puddle jumper, was delayed at every stop. And we finally arrived in Tucson, Arizona, where my grandparents lived, where we were to pick up a rental car large enough for five people and their luggage. Due to the airline delays, though, there were no cars of that size left at the Avis counter. Well, traveling all day, facing delays, and dealing with three impatient boys would, I'm sure, test the patience of any saint, and it tested my father's. He let the poor attendant have it with all the force of the day's frustrations. Avis's motto at that time was, "We try harder," and he kept telling her, "You need to try harder. That's what you say you do. Or you walk over and see if you can get a car from Hertz for us. But get me a car that we can use." And then, with a sweeping gesture, with his arm, he said, "Because if you don't, what am I to do with them?" "With who?" asked the puzzled attendant. My father looked over his shoulder to find that my mother and all three of us had scattered, pretending we didn't know him or had no connection to this ranting gentleman. And for years, all it took was my mother to say, "Avis," for my father to calm down. That is what we all are, isn't it? A mix of saint and sinner together. And it can make for funny stories about parents. But it also has a lot to say about how we depend on Jesus working with and through our strengths and our limitations. As Paul wrote in the Corinthians reading, "We have this treasure in clay jars. For it is the Spirit of Christ within us that lets the saintly part show through the clay of our lives." And what that means for us really is the topic of the parable that Jesus told and that Rich read for us this morning. Man goes on a journey. Before he leaves, he summons three servants, entrusts them with the management of his property and his resources. It's in the form of talents or money. To one he gives five, to another two, to the third one. Each, Jesus says, according to his ability. And the first two take the money, invest it somewhat boldly in the market, and it pays off. Servant two, same. The third servant plays it safe. He's cautious. He's conservative. And he buries his master's money in the ground for safekeeping. The master returns home, and the servants report. Servants one and two tell him what happened, how they made and doubled the money that they had been given. He goes, "Congratulations, well done. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things." Now he knows that the servants boldly took some risk with the money. That happens whenever you invest money to hope it will grow. but he likes their creative, ambitious management of the resources. Servant three reports, "Well, here, sir, exactly what you gave me. I've kept it safe while you were gone, and for his effort, the man is treated about as harshly as anyone in the Bible, stripped of his possessions, kicked out, and his money is added to the account of the first servant. To all those who have, more will be added." But Jesus isn't talking really about money here. He's talking about responsibilities. This is near the end of the gospel. Jesus is talking to a group of his followers about to face the most critical and dangerous week of their entire lives. Jesus is about to be arrested, tried, and executed, and he knows it. The disciples will be on their own, at least in physical terms. He's been their leader, now they will be the visible leaders of the church. They're the managers now of this enterprise. Jesus has started this new thing, this quiet kingdom of compassion, kindness, reconciliation, justice, and peace. So now it is their turn to be like the first two servants, to act boldly, investing their lives and their efforts to spread the grace of Christ. They will also need to act responsibly, of course, taking measured risk. You notice that none of the servants in the parable said, "Well, I've heard from this Nigerian prince who will be paying us a bunch any day now because I sent him the money that you gave me." No, they were responsible as well as being bold, and they faithfully pursued what was helpful to increase the scope of the master's estate. And Christ's followers are to serve boldly, responsibly, and faithfully. And you may recognize that this is the theme of our stewardship program this year, and so please let members of the stewardship committee know I dropped mention of that. But it also applies to our lives of faithful service, to our efforts to let that treasure in clay jars shine through, to let the saintliness we appreciate in others manifest itself in our life also. And I know there are days when we don't feel like bold saints at all, that our little life is like a tiny cork bobbing along in a stormy and treacherous sea. But there is also a deeper truth about those who serve the Lord. Because God has created us to be bold, responsible, and faithful, and God does not leave us alone in our efforts to do so. As sinners, we may not be able to change the whole world, but as saints, we may be able to change our communities or our households. As sinners, we may not be able to change our communities, but as saints, we may be able to change our neighborhoods. Well, sinners, we may not be able to even change our neighborhoods, but as saints, we may be able to change our homes. As sinners, we may not always be able to change our homes, but as saints, we may be able to change ourselves, and that is where it starts. As sinners, we may not be able to change ourselves, but as saints, we can offer ourselves up to the grace of Christ and experience nothing less than a changed life which will impact our world. Our spiritual longings for a better world must never be sidelined because we know that we will always fall short of the greatest goals, but saints like those we remember today were not sidelined. They stepped up boldly, responsibly, and prayerfully, and we can too. Amen.